Okay. Hello, everybody. So we just got off our training call, and I had mentioned that there were still some pieces from today's call that we didn't get to. My apologies about that. I'll try for that not to happen moving forward, although sometimes it just does happen. But I did want to go through just a few more foundational deep listening principles so that we're all set by the time we get to our call next week, when we really look at what to listen for and how to listen and all of that. Although many of these principles are also like how to listen, you know. Anyway, when we left off, we were looking at listen to yourself as well as to your client, right? And the next principle is kind of a tool for that. It's a principle and a tool at the same time. Be curious. Be curious, right? Your curiosity will actually help you listen to yourself more, and it will also help you listen to your client more. So when you're curious, so much is possible. So much more is available to open up. So much more creativity and creative solutions are available. So this, like I said, this goes hand in hand with listening to yourself. You listen to your client first, which will yield messages, wisdom, senses, intuition that your inner self will bring up, which you want to listen to, right? Listen to yourself. And then from there, allow yourself to be curious based on what you heard from your client and what you heard from yourself. So in other words, and I mentioned this a little bit, you know, on our call earlier today, your intuition isn't there to be the end-all be-all right answer. Your intuition is there to open you up to be curious in the most potent and powerful places of what your client is sharing with you. I'm going to say that again. Your intuition is there to open you up to be curious in the most potent and powerful places of what your client is sharing with you. When your curiosity is activated, that's when you stop taking things that your client says for granted. And you do not, when you take what your client says for granted, you have ceased to listen deeply. And so I'll give you a couple of examples of this. So for example, if you're in session with a client and you're talking about something, internet dating, and the client says, well, that hasn't worked for me in the past. If you're not using your curiosity, then that's the end of that. Internet dating hasn't worked for me in the past. You move on to the next thing. If you are engaged with your curiosity, then you're gonna, you know, what, you know, where you may go with that is, okay, it hasn't worked for you in the past. Is that 100% true? How is that true? Why is that true? Right? Because that will then help lead to creativity, to next level solutions, etc. But your curiosity needs to be intact, right? Or if you've got a client that says, well, I just don't like to exercise. If you're not curious, that's the end of that story, right? But if you are curious, you know, then you're going to be asking yourself questions, and eventually you may ask the client, well, does that mean you don't like all exercise? Is there some exercise that you like? And what is that about, right? Or I'll give one more example. This happens to me sometimes in business coaching. You know, someone will say, a client will say, well, I want to create a 7-figure business, right? If your curiosity isn't activated, then you're like, okay, they want the 7-figure business. Let's go and create it, right? But if your curiosity is activated, you're going to want to know, well, what does a seven-figure business mean to this client? Why do they want it, right? Because just because a client will say, this is what I want, that may not actually be what they want, right? So you don't want to take anything for granted. You want to, your curiosity will help you listen to them and to you so that you can get to pull out the important pieces and create awarenesses that are important. Curiosity is actually a skill. It is a skill, curiosity, that can be way more challenging than it seems. So I believe, this may not be a scientific fact. I know some of you in the circle are scientists or have a science background, so let me know. So this is my non-scientific understanding, and you can tell me if it's actually true, that all of us are actually born with the skill of curiosity innately. We had it when we were born. Human beings by nature are curious beings. The problem is that for many of us, we lost it or lost parts of it, our curiosity, along the way. Right? So when we're born, we are open. We're interested in everything. You know, we walk outside and we see the flowers and the trees and like everything is a new thing. Like, oh my gosh, this flower is so amazing. And oh my gosh, this flower is so amazing. Let me see the details and, you know, let me look, you know, all the things. That all that curiosity, right? But then we get jaded a lot of times by experience, right? In one way or another. Our young selves and our curious young selves get buried under history. So maybe our young self was told that curiosity killed the cat, right? Or maybe in one way or another, our young self was told by a family member that our curiosity was problematic for the family. We shouldn't look. Or that we were too precocious because of our curiosity, or that it made us different from everyone else in the family. Or maybe there was a persistent belief that there wasn't enough time for curiosity, you know, only time for survival, right? But not for curiosity, or that it's not practical enough. Or maybe when we were younger, our curious selves found something out that was really painful. Or maybe we were punished for it. So take a moment and look at this for yourself. Around your curiosity. How often do you block off curiosity in your own life, right? So what I mean by that is, how often in your own life, like about yourself, are you not curious as you can be? And because you block off curiosity, along with it, the possibilities of things, right? So let me give you some examples of this so it makes more sense. So for example, if you have a busy schedule and it's not working so well for you, do you just say, well, you know, that's just my schedule. I can't work fewer hours, end of story, right? Without applying curiosity to it. Or maybe you get consistent respiratory infections. You just get them over and over and over again, and there's no curiosity about it. This is just how I am, right? Or maybe you've looked before and you haven't found anything, and so there's no curiosity now. Are you doing this in your own life? And then does this happen if you're working with clients or just in your friendships, your relationships with others? Is this showing up, right? That you're listening, but not with curiosity, just kind of taking things at face value, not being inquisitive inside of yourself about it. So no matter where you are with that, here's another question for you. I'm going to assume that somewhere along the way, for some of us more and for some of us less, we've lost our curiosity, right? We got jaded by that experience that I was talking about a few minutes ago. So for you, when and how did your young self lose some of their curiosity? It might be a particular event, or it may have just kind of been slowly along the way, but what happened along the way to give your young self the message to not be so curious? And take a moment with that. What happened along the way to give your young self the message to not be so curious? Right? Where did you lose some of your curiosity? And then I'm going to continue on. You can pause the recording if you're still writing. Next question to think about: what did you learn from your parents or parental figures about being curious? What did you learn or not learn from your parents or parental figures about being curious? Take a moment with that. Got a couple more questions on this. Next one, think about what are some of the things that you've become jaded about in your life, right? Maybe list a couple things. What are some of the things, the issues, the pieces, the topics that you've just lost your curiosity? Like you're not really applying curiosity to it anymore. There's not an aliveness in it. You know, you've just become jaded about it. What are some of those things in your life? And then whatever those things are, how does that lack of curiosity impact you? How is it impacting you? All right, well, speaking of curiosity, I'm curious on what came through those questions, what you're seeing. I'd love for you to share in the Facebook group. And also, if you're listening to this before our Q&A call on Thursday, if you want to bring it to our Q&A call and go deeper with it, I'd love for that as well. So the best way to cultivate curiosity is to practice it in your own life. So what are ways that you can practice it? This is about building a curiosity muscle, right? So number one, that list of things that you just made, the things that you've become jaded about, that you're not bringing curiosity to, I want to invite you to become more curious about those things. Look at them, right? Even if you've looked at them 100 times before and then you've decided that you knew it all, look at it again. Look at it differently. Find the details in it. Be more open. Look for new ideas or solutions or pieces in it or pieces of yourself in it, right? So apply curiosity. And then another tool, you know, there's lots of different tools, but I'll just share one more. This is part of my own practice when I remember. Sometimes I go months without doing it, but it's so powerful. I want to invite you to go on what I call a curiosity walk. So what this is, doesn't matter where you live, it can be in the city, it can be in the suburbs, it can be in the country. But what it is you're going to go for a walk around your block with the intention, even if you've walked that block hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of times, like I have my block, the intention is on that walk, you are going to find 10 new details that you've never noticed before. It could be a crack in the sidewalk. It could be the color of a leaf. It could be the way a shadow is, you know, coming down on the street. It can be a certain kind of windows that your neighbor has, right? Whatever it is, but to spend however many minutes it is to walk around the block, fully curious, looking, being open with curiosity. It's a great way to build the curiosity muscle and then bring that into your client sessions. Okay, so the last guiding principle that I want to make sure that we look at, this is a biggie, and I've mentioned it a couple of times already, but I want to go a little bit deeper into it. Listen for the who. And in our training call next week, we're going to look at how to listen for the who. But listen for the who, because you always want to coach the what based on the who. Coach the what based on the who. This is like golden rule for listening. So what this means is that when you coach or support a client and you're dictated by the what is their situation, right? I want to lose 20 pounds. I want to build a successful business. I want to find a romantic partner. The what is going to be different for each person. The most effective way to coach the what, which is the situation, is to be listening for the who, right? Who is this client? What do they need? Instead of being cookie cutter about the what situation, which unfortunately happens a lot in the industry. And I'll give you one example to illustrate this from my own work. A lot of times when I work with entrepreneurs and we're building their business, a piece that comes up is creating their schedule, right? Really, so that, you know, that's one of the tools of helping them manage their time and be productive and all the things. Like, let's create an ideal schedule for you to fit in all the different things, right? Well, that's the what. The creating the schedule is the what. But how I go about it is going to be dictated always by the who, right? So how I support a mother entrepreneur who has 4 young children to create a schedule is going to be very different than what I take into consideration for a single person without family responsibilities, if they don't have a parent or, you know, somebody else that they're taking care of, right? You always want to coach the what based on the who. Another example is, you know, there are certain situations that for some clients, no big deal, rolls off their back. You can joke about it or, you know, kind of, be light about it, right? For example, but then there, that same exact situation for another client, right? For another who, you have to approach it very differently, very, very differently, because they take it seriously or they're triggered by it, right? So always listen for the who, not just the what. I guess that's also what I'm trying to say here. A lot of times we listen for the what. What's the situation? How is it happening? What are the details? What is this client saying that they want? Like, yes, yes, yes. We want to listen for the what, but we also want to listen for the who, because the who is always going to dictate how we move forward. Now, a sub point of this but a really important one, and we're going to come back to issues around this, you know, throughout our 10 months together. A lot of you know, I'm a student of the seasons and the rhythms, and have been for decades now. And so this relates to the rhythms. We're going to come back to this a lot. And it relates to listening for the who, right? Because you always want to coach the what based on the who. Sometimes when clients start their work with us, they have big goals. It doesn't mean that they're ready for action on those big goals. So what I oftentimes see happen is that practitioners, the what here is just getting started on the goals, right? Without taking the who into consideration. There's some clients that are starting in summer, right? The season of summer. Summer is about action. The sun is, you know, strong and giving us energy, and they're going to hit the ground running as soon as we start working together, taking action, strategizing, moving forward, right? That's great. But the truth is, really, even more often than not, clients aren't starting in summer. The who is not in summer, even if they have the same goals as someone who's starting in summer. Oftentimes clients start, they may not even realize this. They just want to start taking action. But the truth is, where they are at internally, their soul, their psyche, emotionally, is that they're in autumn or winter, which is about release. They have to let go of something first, or they have to rest, right? The rest of winter first, before they can take a ton of actions. It doesn't mean that they can't start taking some action with you as soon as you start working together, but you don't want to push someone into a ton of action if they're not in spring or summer. You want to kind of see what they need to release or how they need to take care of themselves and get still before they can take a ton of action, right? So hopefully this makes sense. Ask questions if it doesn't, but it's kind of, like I said, a sub point to listening for the who, because sometimes when you start with people hit the ground running, other times the person, different person can have the same exact goals, but they're not ready to hit the ground running. Your work, the first phase of your work together, is more internal, or looking at fears or shadows, or, you know, whatever it is. All right. So I'd love to hear what you're taking from all of this. Let me know. Let me know if you have questions. And you've got resource sheets in the member center. You've got a worksheet in the member center. Remember about working on setting intentions at the beginning of your client sessions, and then takeaways at the end, asking the client what they're taking away. This isn't in the worksheets, but if this resonates for you, I want you to think about what can you do next to start tightening up your client containers? You know, we looked at a lot of things. So how can you tighten up your client containers? And let me know. Again, I'm here for any cues. Sending you all a lot of love.